Let me play a little bit of the original phoning Dr. Beter on December 14th, 1986, saying, looks like we have some gold.
No, any more than that. I just called to see if you're interested, and then we'll get it. I'll go to his office tomorrow and start doing it officially.
I sure am. Now let me tell you the perimeters.
Okay.
Find out whether it's pebbles, sand.
It's Troy.
Huh?
He said the word Troy ounces.
Well, then I mean, is it in bullion form?
Okay.
Is it 12.5 kilo bars?
Let me just jot this down, these points.
Right, go ahead.
First question, is it in bullion?
Bullion bars.
Bullion bars.
Bars. What size are they? 12.5 kilos? What's their weight?
Okay, what size and weight?
Do they have an international acceptable hallmark?
Hallmark?
Hallmark, H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K.
Yeah, do they have an acceptable international hallmark, okay.
Which equals good London delivery. That equals good London delivery, which means 999.9 or better. Fine.
99.9 better, what, another word?
999.9 fine or better.
Fine or better.
Right. 3.9.
Yeah, 999.9.
That's right.
Makes 4 nines altogether.
That's right.
Right. Fine or better. Any other qualifications?
What price are they selling from the second London fix?
What price are they selling from the second London fix?
Do I get a discount from that?
London fix. And do you get a...
Does my buyer get a discount?
Does the buyer...
get a discount from the second London fix? Suppose, Bob, it's $400. They fix the gold, they fix it in the morning and in the afternoon. Two fixings.
Right.
Suppose the afternoon fixing is $400. Would they give me 3%, 4%, 5% discount, or what?
Gotcha. I understand.
Right. And that's where we make our commission.
All right.
I get 0.25% discount.
Okay, I've got that. Do you want me to write that down, too?
Well, that's between you and me.
Oh, okay.
Now, in order for me to present that to my trust now, I've submitted so many of these, and they've turned out to be just flakes.
Right.
That they have now said, Peter, in order to avoid all these brokers and these crooks and these scams, we're going to authorize you to have you retain, they retain you as lawyer for $10,000.
Yeah, they retain you.
That's right, the seller.
That's right, I understand.
Because we found out, Bob, that as soon as I give them the all the information where they're supposed to make the offer into the bank,
they take off?
They try to go behind us. They try to go into the bank and say, will you protect our commissions? Whereas I give them telexes and corporate letters that we will protect their commissions, they go right to the bank and say to my representatives, my clients, these account holders, do they have this much money to buy the gold? And the bank just clams up and doesn't even speak to them.
Jeez.
And so it's caused us a great deal of trouble, Bob.
A lot of harassment over nothing, right?
For nothing. And the telephone companies and the airplanes and all this sort of stuff get richer on us. And we've put in $60 million, $70 million here, there, and everywhere in Switzerland. And the guys are supposed to come in with the gold and they never show up. They take our buy orders, which we give them, and go out and raise money for their own personal use.
That's amazing.
So they go out and say, look, I got a buy order from Dr. Beter's client. And will you people chip in $10,000 or $20,000 and I'll go to Europe and look for this gold? When they didn't have the gold in the first place, Bob. So we're kind of disgusted, So our main question now is we will get Arthur Anderson or some other people, unless they will show us the gold or show us the gold certificate.
Right.
If they have the gold certificate and they match up numerically and by number on the numbers that's stamped on the bars, then, brother, we will buy them yesterday.
Fantastic. So your fee was $10,000? Was that what you said?
No, my fee, our fee for you bringing me the thing we would split 0.25%. So suppose the gold was sold for $400 an ounce, you and I would share $1 each.
Okay, so I'd
that's
be...
a lot of money, brother.
That's right.
That's an ounce. That's 0.25% per ounce.
Yeah.
Commission.
Yeah, now you said the figure 10,000. What was that
referring? Well, that is to retain me to make sure that they got the gold.
Right, so we...
I give that to Arthur Anderson. You know who they are.
Right.
The auditors.
Yeah.
They got offices all around the world.
That's right.
And if you tell me where this gold is supposed to be, instead of me going there, Bob, I retain Arthur Anderson, and they go there with their auditors and accountants and look at it, verify it, and they call me up and confirm by a subsequent letter saying, yes, Dr. Beter, we have found the gold. It does exist.
Some of the information you put out, the Battle of the Harvest Moon and organic robotoids, even though the previous topics such as the lack of gold at Fort Knox were quite, notorious.
How about the cosmos spheres that Russia has, what we call Star Wars?
Yes, and those kind of things that you kept escalating, even though you it caused you personal pain, you did it for history, generally.
That's exactly right.
So it was a modern form of recording history about a part of the world that the people wouldn't have access to.
Well, the trouble with me was that I was at least 10 years ahead of my time. And if you want to be popular, you want to give stories that people can identify with at the present time. So I was 10 years, 15 years ahead of my time. That's, even the book was written 13 years ago. People still write me and say, you're right on today, where I predicted that America would be nothing but a service-oriented economy, that Japan would be the preeminent country in the 21st century, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. Let's just think here. I had another question. Information has come out over the past year in newspapers that confirm the superiority of the Russians in that. Can you recall some of these newspaper articles that you had mentioned to me before?
Well, you know, you remember just only about a couple of months ago, Caspar Weinberger, our Secretary of Defense, agreed that the Russians were ahead of us in space, in every facet, and also in their submarine abilities. And the trouble with us is down here in America is that we can't get the manufacturers to agree on one-step principles. They're fighting among themselves to get the contracts. For example, today the Russians put up one of the brand new shuttles—not a shuttle, but a satellite, a space station. Tremendous! Got many portholes of entry. There's nobody in there today, but they're getting ready for people to go up and live in them. Well, we've been trying to get a space station into space, but the companies here who make these things, or could make them, are fighting among themselves to try to get the contracts. And so we're still grounded here. While the Russians are already on the moon, they've already got their cosmospheres, they've already got their killer satellites, and we've been stuck down here, not able to do anything. As a result, the Russians have built the biggest embassy in the world down here on Wisconsin Avenue. It looks permanent to me. And we just can't seem to get going. We're mired down here in interfering in other people's business and interfering in other people's countries and bogged down in trivial matters. You see, France went through this sort of thing in the 20s. And look what happened to France at the end of the second decade. Well, we're going through the same thing that France went through. It's just a tragedy that what's happening.
Now, we have talked before about Marshall McLuhan. You consider him a great man. Do you think that Russia culturally, its sense of unity and not private individualism, helps it function better in the electric age?
Well, what's happening in Russia today is blacked out history. Russia is now decentralizing, while America, governmental-wise, is trying to centralize. We're going towards collectivism here in America. People don't realize it. And the leaders here call it benevolent collectivism, while Russia is going towards decentralization.
And decentralization, isn't that more harmonious with the electric situation?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And there's a brand new leadership, you know, in the past 20 years in Russia, so much so that other countries are beginning to wake up. And I think we had better wake up to this. Well, the American people haven't awakened because they're so busy trying to make a living. We're all economic serfs down here trying to make a living and paying our debts every day. It's a very difficult thing. People shrug their shoulders and walk away. So therefore, a very strong minority who can control Congress or the White House can have sway.
I see, yeah. Under electric computer conditions, you can control, have great centralized control behind the scenes, but it is inappropriate for mobilizing the economy, I guess.
That's right. That's exactly right. I think that's the reason why the Federal Reserve is going to have a great deal of difficulty in mobilizing its forces against the administration, which now wants to liberalize credit, et cetera, et cetera. But this is being reflected in the stock market today. But in the stock market, it's just a fever of speculation.
Okay, now let's move into some of your financial advice. As CKLN listeners are privileged to hear this. It costs a lot of money for your private seminars, but you could ask a few questions, answer a few questions for us here, I understand. Do you think there will be some kind of economic collapse in the United States in 1986?
No, not in 1986. Every avenue, every lever by the government will be used to cause a fever of speculation in the United States. Next year, it's something different. But the trend will begin at the bottom, not noticed, sometime in June. It won't be noticed by anybody, but it will be the beginning of a tremendous stagflation era, and those who have protected themselves by now and then will come out all right.
Great. Now,
his prediction's accurate there. This is in February 1986. He says nothing in 86, but in 87, October 19th, 1987, is when the computers went on strike. And there was that crash, so he was right there about more vulnerable in 87, which happened.
When you say nobody will notice, I watch Wall Street Week regularly, you know, Louis Rukeyser's show. Not even those people will be reporting that.
Is that right? I don't listen to them. What do you expect? They're not going to tell you the truth. So I take that back. They're not going to tell you anything. Why should they owe you anything?
Right. So even though it's a popular show and he's a popular host, you're saying that some of the people he has on this panel may notice what you're talking about in June, but there's no way they're going to talk about it.
Well, you know, with all due deference, they've got to sell their product, don't they?
Yes.
I always sell the truth, even though it hurts.
Okay, now...
Sometimes I give it away.
Yeah, he says, sometimes I give it away. I think that, but there he is talking about Louis Rukeyser. You occasionally hear Ion joking about Louis Rukeyser.
Well, thank you. Now, you're saying June. Now, is this based on your sources or your own calculations?
Both. I mean, you know, in Europe, I just got back from Europe. They begin to see now that everybody's clapping over there. Of course, they see the dollar going down in value, and their own currency is going up in value. They begin to see that America has a somewhat of a bad karma ring around it, and they want to they don't want to see Babylon die, but they want to see Babylon get its upbringing, or what do you call it,
the spanking,
because it's been behaving very badly in world affairs economically. Now all of a sudden the Treasury, and I have friends over there, turn right around now. They want to bring the value of the dollar down. Now, this won't be reflected in our exports for at least 6 months, but even then it won't be reflected because the companies have come over here and built their products and everything. And so we're still exporting jobs every month when we see the trade deficit go up and up, and we're still, as I said in my book, we're exporting the jobs and have been. And Asia will be the greatest place to do business now, especially with China opening up.
Okay, now you mentioned the erratic nature of the stock market. Could you explain that a little more?
Well, the trouble is that the little man is not in the market anymore, Bob. It's being massaged. the speculation amounts to a massaging of the market between big financial institutions. The right hand is doing the right. The right hand is selling, and the left hand is buying. And it's a very speculative business. We don't have a true free market in the stock market anymore. So whenever they all feel the same way, and they're going to start dumping the stock, they're going to find out that the basic fundamentals are just not there. By that I mean, there's really no production in America. It's a service-oriented economy. And it's just that the big boys upstairs, the big industrialists, have moved out to East Asia. They've moved their factories there. Every big industry has moved to Asia. For number one, it's not evil. It's just that they're ignorant in the best ways of America. It's a world economy to them, just like the world financial situation is their bag. So it's the fundamentals in America are over. There are no basic fundamentals here to uphold the stock market. But so it's all speculative. It's all a fever of speculation. It's all based on rumors. They search the record. They hear Volcker in Congress talking about this and that. And at the same time, he's putting out more money than you shake a stick at. And Baker, poor fellow, he wants to get the economy going fever pitch because there's elections coming up in October.
Yes. Now, so you see in 87, even though there'll be an election in 88, interest rates will start to go up then.
Yes.
And will gold go up?
Gold will play its own role. It will feed on itself. All you have to do is find the major factor, and that is there's no real production in America. Number two, the value of the dollar will be half of what it is now, nearly half of what it is now vis-a-vis the Deutsche Mark. And this portends I myself, they planned it this way because the big boys who are in gold, not the little people, but the big guys who have cornered the gold market will make a tremendous windfall profit. And when that time comes, they will make a windfall profit by selling the gold back to the United States at a tremendous windfall profit, as they did in 1933 when Roosevelt confiscated the people's gold and paid them $22 for it. But the big people who do the inside had already taken their gold abroad to the Philippines, and then Roosevelt revalued the gold to $35, and they brought it back and got $35 an ounce for it. Well, this time they'll do it again. Only this time they'll bring it back, and I can't predict the exact price, but I don't think they'll go beyond too much, between $400 and $750 an ounce. And they'll make a tremendous windfall profit, and then there'll be a great hue and cry to place gold back into the international monetary system, and at that point they will fix gold at a fractional price, say one quarter ounce for so many dollars. And there will be an international monetary conference on it, and I know they're talking about it already in the Treasury Department.
So a lot of people say that your scenario is similar to a replay of the 30s, leading into maybe a war situation. Are we going to exactly repeat that, you think? Or isn't there other factors that would not have an exact replay of that?
I don't think there'll be a war as we know it unless there's an accident, unless the computers go wild. I think there's so much built-in safeguards by man alone, that there will be no war. There will be little conventional wars in the third world, where the big powers will not be directly involved. The atomic bomb has prevented war for over 40 years. It will continue to do so for another 40 years, provided there's no accident. The computers don't run wild.
Though there was a battle in the late 70s, early 80s, where we almost had a nuclear war, but that was under conditions of some kind of power panic?
The point is, behind the scenes, you know, there's more laughter and there's more understanding than the newspapers, give out to their readers or the media.
Yes.
They're therefore they can sell more Valium. No, behind the scenes, everything is all right. It's quiet, and but when they come outside, they thunder, and it's a show. It's a show between lawyers or whatever.
Yeah, the global theater.
That's exactly what it is. The Global Theater has now been put statewide.
Okay, but there was some panic registered in your tapes, and there was a problem in the early 80s.
That's exactly right, but there were different players in those days. The tragedy is that the band today, who is in control, will not allow this war to come about, but could come about by accident. It could come about. And there is a fanatical group, I'm not going to mention them, but there is a fanatical group in existence who would like to go to war against Russia.
And they have influence in America.
They have tremendous influence.
Are they involved with any of these terrorist groups that have been in trial in the United States recently? You know, the so-called neo-Nazi groups? Do they fund that kind of activity?
I'm not privy to that information, but there are people in somewhat high places who would like to fight Russia, but not with atomic bombs.
You mean in a space? They'd like to do it out in space.
Yeah, right, because as one senator said to me, he said, Peter, if the next war comes, it won't be fought on Earth, it will be fought in space. And that's why, you know, we're having so much trouble getting off the ground into inner space and outer space. There's a lot more to it than the American people have been led to believe.
Well, you're suggesting then that something happened on a military level to the space shuttle in the end of January?
I say it could have been.
It could have been, because there is that kind of battle going on anyways.
Yeah, but it's an understandable battle. It's as long as not the majority of the people in the world is involved. It's a competitive battle. And today Russia put up that space station, and it's a tremendous thing. Now they can live up there. If we could just get our manufacturers to agree to work together, we could have one too.
Okay, now back to the financial level, just to end off the interview. What would you recommend people invest in? Would you recommend they buy gold?
Well, those people who do have money, I would seriously consider buying Kruger Rands, Canadian Maple Leafs. You know, people who have surplus money. You have to put all your money in it just to keep a couple around. And the rest of it, you're going to have to stay liquid, because we're going into a position where cash is going to be king.
Cash is going to be king.
Absolutely.
So what are there particular kinds of companies that one should invest in?
Well, myself, I cannot recommend any company.
Why is that?
Because you don't know in this era of stagflation, as I said in my book. By the way, I have some copies that's out of print, but if anybody wants a copy, they can send it to me, send a order to me. I'm selling them for $15 Canadian, Bob.
Okay, $15 Canadian.
For my book. It's out of print, and it's a very good book.
Okay, well, they certainly can get a hold of me for the address at the station.
Sure.
But what were you just saying there? You wouldn't invest in certain, you couldn't recommend companies.
No, I cannot, because in the chapter on stagflation, you'll find out the reason why.
Okay.
And it still stays true.
So what? How do people invest in cash? How do you do that?
Well, you just husband it.
So that's more or less.
You know, Canadians are great savers.
So save cash.
Absolutely, and buy gold coins. I would buy gold coins. I mean, if I had surplus money or money I don't need, and I wanted to save, I would save it just in cash and gold coins, Canadian Maple Leafs or Kruger Rands. Just put them away. That's what I would do if I had it.
And
I'm not recommending people to do it. I want them to consider it.
Yes. And you see that there will be some kind of economic collapse. It's inevitable, you would say?
Well, they've mismanaged things, don't you think?
Yes. I mean, we mentioned this earlier. They don't understand the new technological situation we're in.
No, they're ignorant. They're not mean. They're not evil. They're just ignorant.
And that's it seems to be the problem for North America, that we have a lot of ignorant people in power here.
That's right. I mean, look at the debts of the third world countries. I mean, there are billions and billions of dollars owed to the banks and to our government. And all in order to keep it afloat, Bob, we have to recycle these debts. We lend the money, they pay us back interest, regardless of whether they pay it back to the private banks or to the IMF or to the World Bank. We've got to keep that recycling. Now, suppose there's a revolution, say, in Brazil, which owes over $50 billion, more than that. And suppose there's a revolution or insurrection or, for whatever reason, the big creditors of the United States pull out their money. Then that recycling will stop. The chain letter will stop. Then the economic factor of the collapse of our banks will put such a severe pressure on the bank of last resort, which is the Federal Reserve, that it will not be able to do it. And they can't go back to Congress because Congress is trying to reduce the deficit through this latest act of law.
You mean the Graham-Rudman?
That's right.
Yes. Do you see a lot of big cuts in Social Security?
No, I don't. They're afraid to touch that.
So somehow they'll keep that floating.
That's politics.
Yes.
Everything this year is politics.
Now, the Russians are blessed with either historically they have to had to rely on themselves and therefore they're not as ignorant about the situation.
Well, they're pretty smart capitalists. They're state capitalists now. They've got their own banks. They've got their own gold supply. They use their gold from Moscow to raise money. They use it as collateral. They never sell their gold anymore. As a matter of fact, I represent a group of investors in Europe who authorized me on their behalf to buy tons of gold, on the second London fixing with a small less discount because it's a private deal. You realize in the last 3 or 4 years we have not bought any gold except the 14 metric tons from Iraq because the country needed money for its war with Iran. But the gold market is so tight. Nobody is selling. And yet, my clients are sitting on $14 billion, I repeat, $14 billion, to buy gold, and yet I have not been able to get any gold for them at all. So that should tell you something.
It certainly does, Dr. Beter. Our time has run out. This has been quite a privilege for us here in Toronto to have you speak on the issues today and your past experience over the last 30 years. You've been involved in very high circles, and they still are, and I hope that we have a chance to talk to you again.
It's my pleasure, Bob. Thank you for... This is my first radio broadcast since I don't remember when.
Yes, this is a CKLN exclusive. Many years ago was your last interview, you'd say.
Many, many years ago.
Well, I really appreciate you responding to my request, and I have been a long-time listener, and I guess you were thanking me in a way for listening to what you had to say.
Well, thank you, Bob, and thank all of your listeners.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Beter.
Give him my telephone, but the post office box number.
I certainly will.
Okay.
That's the International Connection for today. We'll be back next Saturday.